Welcome back, everyone. This is the opportunity again for us to share a little bit from what was gleaned from our group gatherings and any kind of thoughts or questions that might have streamed from that time. So the mic is all anybody's but mine.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Bruce, for your good words and eye-opening exercises with the thought-provoking questions. They really were very thought-provoking, and I found that I was struggling a little to handle some of these. However, my question is now, you have now provided us with the tools of armor, and we're now being charged to go out and promote the good news. How do we handle these problems with social media?
Okay, let's have lunch. Next question.
No, I'm just, your preacher's a little stunned. And I hope I want to get a better understanding of the question, the problems with social media. Question related to how do we confront or battle back with negative understandings of Christianity in our culture? And I respond with, we don't. We don't need to. What my understanding is, I'm not looking for a fight. I'm just looking to lift up Jesus, because the promise actually is Jesus is lifted up, people will be drawn to him. And I also believe with all my heart that Jesus is incredibly attractive. We probably have more in common with people who are anti-Christian than they may realize, because what they're anti, we're anti too. The gospel they're presenting may be something that we'd also have no time for. In other words, people who've mixed up understanding of what Christianity is. And if God is like that, I don't want him. And our response is, and neither would I, right? But God isn't like that, right? The people have been given an impression, either from the church, which is really, really sad, or from a Christian, perhaps, which is really, really horrible, about something negative about the Lord and about what it means to be a Christian. People may go back into history and dig out all kinds of horrible things as well from church history. We aren't to deny that or cover that up. We admit it. Yep, that was crummy. You're right. Doesn't look like something Jesus would do, but look like something people would do, right? You know, when people's pride gets in there and power struggles get in there, it's horrible. It corrupts, you know. So I find that in my own life, if I'm dealing with somebody who's looking for a fight concerning the faith, I'm more apt to find all these things I agree with him about. I agree. If that was what the gospel was, I wouldn't want it either. But that's not what the gospel is. And so my part is to, the best I can, present what the gospel is. And the gospel is always positive. I mean, as I mentioned a moment ago, the gospel is God is for you, right? Many times the church kind of gets on everything that we're against, understandably. But the gospel is all about one big deal, that God's for us, right? And no greater demonstration of that than on the cross. Christ is for us. So how can we resist that kind of a love? Right? A love that says, I understand and I forgive. I want to restore. I want to renew. I want to make all things beautiful in my time, right? So I would just say, if we're on social media, we are lifting up the very best, namely Christ. We're focusing on the very best of what only Christ can do. We're not making excuses for what the church has done, but we're lifting up what Christ can do. That's how I think I would respond. Oh, good.
And Carrie, I'll thank you for the question, because it led into what I was going to share from our group. And that was one of the comments that you made, Bruce. You talked about the Roman soldiers taking their shields and standing close together and becoming a wall. In our group, David and Stan put together the groups this weekend very prayerfully. I hope that all of you had the experience of feeling a sense of community, a sense of team. And the image that you had of the soldiers gathering together, I hope that the rest of your teams, I know that our small group has a sense of going into this coming year that we're united together behind those shields of faith and seeking to overcome the attacks of the enemy.
I'm Bill Bickle, I'm from Group 9. And I'm not necessarily sharing exactly what the group thought, but maybe a little bit more of what I thought. But certainly the conversation I want to reinforce some of the stuff that I think I heard, which is when we're standing up for truth and we're being convicted and trying to stand up for the Christ we know and the church that he wants us to be in the face of a world and Satan that doesn't want all this to happen, it's very easy to appear judgmental and legalistic and shrill and angry. And I really love the focus on love. And I think in the first reading it was, you know, Christ says, I hear you being really sort of convicted, but don't forget to love people. And so that, I think that's been your theme, and I just want to reinforce that. Could you talk a little bit more about the balance between being convicted and compassion? Because I think that's the thing we have to struggle with, especially over the next year or two. We're going to have a lot of things to stand up for, and it's not going to be easy, but we have to love people at the same time.
Very good, Bill. Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. I think one of the parts that come to mind is the 17th chapter of Acts when Paul's on Mars Hill. And you see, he's just stirred, troubled inside as he sees people who are searching so hard for God and can't find him, and even decide to make up one called an unknown God just in case he missed somebody. But he's actually stirred, but it's because of compassion. But a compassion is sometimes in today's world would say, well, that means just let them believe what they want to believe, right? If that makes you happy, if that's good for you, that's all that matters. I don't know how many parents I've heard who said, all I want for my kids is to be happy. I think that's not what I want for my kids, not just to be happy. I want my kids to know what it means to be holy. Happy's great. Holy's fantastic. So Paul had this compassion for them, but his compassion for them, as I mentioned, there's these two legs. One's called compassion, one's called conviction. And when we walk with those two legs, that's when we walk in the Spirit, right? It's with a deep love, but that deep love is, where does it come from? It's born out of our convictions that everyone needs to know about the one who loves them with everything he has. Everyone needs to have an opportunity to respond to the love that only Christ can give. Only Christ can satisfy and meet the deepest needs of our hearts. Nobody else can. We know that. No other religion can. No one can. We're lying if we think otherwise, right? Only Christ, because only Christ knows us inside and out. He made us. The ironic thing is why people would be hesitant to believe that the one who made us would have the best answers for us, right? I mean, he made us. So it's the conviction that Christ gave us life for us, and the compassion that causes us to go on to share that with other people. But I don't do the church any favor by watering down my convictions and what I understand the gospel is all about. Sure. I think the best gift we can give to General Synod is to stand with conviction and compassion. And the tendency is always just on the one. But it's conviction and compassion. The other thing about St. Paul, which I always loved in that passage in Acts 17, was also another C word, and that's creativity. He found a creative way to share his convictions, right? I see that you're very religious. Let's talk about that, right? I see you're talking about some unknown God. I want to let you know that guy's name, that unknown God's name, right? So very creative with them. He wasn't condescending. He was just being creative. So the creativity also came out of his convictions, but also out of his compassion. And of course, in the last word, which is another C word, this is a sermon. I didn't know this, but it is now, is the word courage. And if ever there was a time for us to have that kind of courage, it's now, right? Not to back down, again, not to be belligerent. I mean, I love the way when Peter writes to those Christian people scattered across the empire, here's what I want you to do. Always be ready to share the reason for the hope, but always with gentleness and respect, but always sharing the hope, right? You know, so there's that courage. Again, not a loud mouth, but a gentle courage, which is born out of, again, compassion. If I don't care, I'll just keep my convictions to myself, right? So I hope that might speak a little bit into that, Bill. But I just like that picture of two legs, conviction, compassion. And that's how we walk with God. And that's what drives us to want to share our faith with other people. And I am speaking to myself when I say this, because I can allow myself, if I let myself, lose compassion. I can just go through and keep my Christianity to myself or my friends, those who have the same heart and mind. I can just enjoy being a part of church and not really be concerned about my neighbor's welfare.
Right?
I guess I'll be a loudmouth for a while. I have an observation rather than a question. The observation is this, that the Holy Spirit was definitely at work. This has been one fantastic weekend. I've been to quite a few, but first of all, he gave us Bruce. Secondly, he gave me one of the best small groups that I have ever led. And I thank Christ for that. And the Holy Spirit. Thank you.